start preaching about Christ in the Gospels. And my first message, what is God's heart for you after you're saved? Okay? What is God's heart for you after you're saved? Is it to get married? No. Is it to have a car? No. Is it to have children? No. God's heart for you, listen to the missionary that we had here, Bonnie and Derek Burnett. I do read their emails, and I do pray for these guys. They touch my heart, these guys. Okay. Is it okay? Okay, here we go. I have so much news, but don't want this to run long, so I'll give you one more answer to prayer. In the last session of the annual conference of the Thai CMA, God used an elderly Korean pastor to challenge the Thai church here. He told them, don't hide behind the idea that this is a Buddhist country, so it's hard to preach the gospel. South Korea was Buddhist too, but believers in Korea spend hours in prayer and in God's word, and then they go out to share the good news. What are you doing here? The face of Thailand can be changed, just like Korea. Will you seek God's face and immerse yourself in his word every day? They go out and share what you know. Then go out and share what you know. That's all it takes. His words made me squirm. This is a missionary. His words made me squirm and walk away with a burning determination to do whatever it takes. Praise God for his words and his spirit here in Thailand, where Derek's going. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 19. I have it up here, but it's okay. I'm going to read it. I'll read it. It'll come up, but I'm going to read it. This is the crux of his heart for us after we're saved. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. And I believe that after you get saved, if you're not into this kind of thing, you will have no joy in your Christian life. None. I don't care who you are or where you come from. This is a lifestyle. God's heart is that we would become fishers of men. And there are two words I have overlooked, but I think Jesus wanted me to preach on. And the word come. He makes us fishers of men by come. He makes us fishers of men by follow me. By coming into Christ's presence, we join him in prayer. I have never saw this before. I'm not going to put a guilt trip on you on evangelism. This time, I think I got it. I got the key. I've been wrestling so much in the last couple weeks, but I got the key. In John chapter 10, verse 9, in the New American Standard and in the King James, it says this, I am the door. In the NIV, it says I am the gate. I'd rather use I am the door. Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door. I believe that's Christ. Standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. I will show you what must take place after this. This is what the church has to do to get going. We are not here to just ask God for what we need. We need to understand that when God calls us into prayer, he's calling us to come up into his presence and to wait. Habakkuk 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He doesn't give you strength. He is your strength. That's an amazing verse. The sovereign Lord himself is your strength. Nobody has any excuse of not being able to wait. Nobody. Because he gives us strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. But this is what I wanted to really point out. He enables me to go on heights. That has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That is Old Testament. Right now, we have it. Let me read this to you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it goes like this. And I want to just say this again. God has already enabled us in Christ to go on the heights. We're there. Everybody's there. If you're a believer, you're there. Here's the verse. Paul says, it's a fulfillment. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Why? Why do that? I'm telling you, man, when you get, if your age, my age, what happens is, as you get older, you tell me, just shake your head, I'm right. As you get older, you learn truth. What happens is, the truth doesn't change, you start changing. And you see that you're not really, that's not the way it is with God. And the truth changes. No, I change. The truth stays the same, and I start changing. One area in my life that I changed is this area. God has raised up the church to pray, not to do things. Make no mistake of that. He has raised us up to pray, and I mean corporately and personally to pray. Now, if you don't pray for any of us here, you can come here to church, you don't get nothing out of it. Are you with me? But I'll tell you one thing, he has raised this church up, and all of us who are believers, to be intercessors. Now, here's what I learned. There is no such thing, and if you want to show me, I would love to talk to you over a coffee. I have looked at it through the scriptures. I've read it 18 times, the Bible over and over. There is no such thing as a gift of intercessor. None. God has called all of us to be intercessors. That's what I believe. And when we say, when we see someone like Julie pray, or someone like you pray, I'm just naming a few. We cannot say, I can't pray like that. There's a reason why they pray like that. They have a hunger for the presence of God, and that in itself gives them that attitude to keep going. It's because we don't get into the presence of God, we don't have that. No intercession, no witnessing. None. If you're not really praying for the lost. Now let me read this to you. I think I put it on. I'm not sure. Can you switch it? Yes, it is. I don't have many verses, but these are the main ones. This is where I back up that we're all intercessors. And the deeper you go into his presence, when he says, come, and you go into his presence, this is the most disciplined thing you could ever have. If you have kids, it'll pull you away from it. If you have a ministry, it'll pull me away from it. It has pulled me away. God had to bring this to me this week. That this is where the power is, Miles. This is where the devil will attack you, Miles. He'll pull you away from prayer so you can be ineffective. And you'll wonder why there is no power. You'll blame it on people. But it's up to us, all of us in this room, to start to really move into his presence by the blood of Christ. Everybody has that opportunity. There is no excuses right now for none of us. God has made an open door for everybody in this room. If you're a believer, you have half an hour, an hour. Everybody has that kind of spare time. Am I right? But you know the hardest thing to do? Here, and I've got to do this. I'm there. I'm not ahead of you guys. I'm going to do it. I'm putting a stake in the ground. I hope you join me now. Is that the hardest thing to do is that when you get into prayer is to break through into his presence. But when you get into his presence, it's to stay there. So you get instructions from him. And because we don't stay there, we move in our emotions and we're doing it on our own. Are you with me? And this is a very, very important principle because the devil will say, it's not working. Might as well get up. You need to wait. And wait because the blood of Christ is the meeting place for God. No other way to do this for any of us. By
Lord Jesus. There's something very powerful about it when you really put your faith in the blood of Jesus. And you wait, and you wait. I'm going to learn how to do this. I don't care if it kills me. I'm not joking. This is where power is. You can attack the church all you want. This is my problem between me and the Lord.
Power. Power in his presence. When you leave his presence, you know someone who's been in his presence. Just this week, I started to do this. Fighting like crazy, man. My heart was just in a rage. Are you with me? When you start to move in this direction, the devil will come after you. He doesn't want the church to pray. Because when we pray, we become invincible against the darkness. And that's what he wants for this church. Really. I want to read this. I want to show you something. This is why everyone's called to be an intercessor. If you can go back. Thank you. In the same way, the Spirit, look at this now. Paul doesn't go the Spirit, and he doesn't say me, he goes us. That's why it's for everybody. In our weakness, we do not know. In our weakness, you can't pray in the flesh. Tell me if you can. It's impossible. It won't last. There's no joy in it. You'll give up. God wants us to really get into his presence. His presence fuels that to stay there. It fuels it.
Oh, I don't care. I really don't. I know one thing that God is really speaking to me. God raised his church to be a praying church. Because when I walked through David Wilkerson's church and they prayed, I felt the presence of the Lord. When I walked through Jim Sabella's church, not because he's this and that, it's because they prayed. They have fixed it. They have moved into this. And from this point on, I'm putting a stake in the ground with the elders, and we're going to pray by ourselves, personally. I'm going to start the fast. I haven't done it for a while. You're right, brother. I'm going to start the fast. You want to fight? Fight.
Fight.
Pray. Everybody in this place start to pray. And fast. Do you want to feel the power of God in us? People will get saved. People will come in. For no reason. They want this. The church needs this. We have to come back and repent from all our doing. And start to be in his presence.
You're just going to get married.
May you hear what I'm saying, man. Be in his presence. And it will bless you. You'll bear so much fruit, it'll freak you out.
I'm praying for you. That's what I hope for you. For me too. For everyone. That we move in this direction. This is evangelism at its heart. Not go and do and go and do, go and do. That's legalism. This is freedom. When we start to pray, it's freedom, brother. You want real grace? As soon as we tap into this, grace will come. God will honor us because prayer is the essence of faith.
I really love this verse. I got to get it. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Isn't that true? Do you know what to pray for? Do I know what to pray? Do I know what's wrong with this church? Do you? Only God knows. Only the Spirit of God knows. Amen? And when we turn to him, he tells us. Funny that I'm just getting it now. I'm 60 years old. Stupid, man. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words can't express. It's the Holy Spirit. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And as soon as you pray in the Spirit and God's will is there, it will get answered.
That's what the Spirit wants.
He wants to move out of the way, people. Get out of the way, preacher. Get out of the way, everybody. Let the Holy Spirit come. Start to say, oh, Omar freaked me out, man. He says, you know, I'm so under attack, Miles. It's not funny. I'm going to get him to preach here next Sunday. I don't know if I made a mistake. I just want to see if it's his calling to fight the Muslims. Because he knows that he's a brilliant guy. You know what he says to me? The only thing I do, Miles, is this. This is it. Welcome, Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. You got it. Everybody in this room's got to get this like this. Welcome, Holy Spirit. When you're under attack, welcome, Holy Spirit. Remember those words. Welcome, welcome, Holy Spirit. All of us together, if we start to pray like that, welcome, Holy Spirit. He comes. He not only comes, he's in you. He rises. He wants this for us. He doesn't want us to operate in flesh or emotions. He wants us to operate in the Holy Spirit. I really believe that with all my heart. And so much, I go in the Spirit and in the flesh. In the Spirit and flesh. Are you with me? Spirit and flesh. Spirit. I want to go in the Spirit. I think you can do it. You know how? It's by being focused. Discipline. There's a discipline to be by yourself with the Lord. A discipline where nobody steps into my time. It's me and you, God. Me and you. Is everybody with me on this one? So often our times get chopped off with the Lord. I gotta go do this. I gotta go do that. I gotta be with the kids. I gotta do this. God's saying, your time with me, you can have power. I'll give you power when you come up. You'll do more fruit than anything you can imagine if you stay with me.
He's telling me this. I can hear him. He really is. Listen to this now. I'm gonna tell you something. Listen to this. I've always believed this. I couldn't find it in the Bible, so I couldn't preach it. I'm a Bible guy. My brain got by the Bible. As soon as somebody doesn't operate by the Bible, everything goes crazy on me. Really fierce. Because this church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. That's what the Bible says. That's the way it has to be. So I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it where it says, we don't pray to Christ, we pray with Christ. I couldn't find it. Finally, I found it through this message. Switch it over. Thank you. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede for you. I will intercede to the Lord. I will intercede with the Lord. That's what makes praying exciting. You're with the Lord. If you're due only, he's a clerk, a shopping clerk, it's to the Lord. Lord, help me, kids. Help us. Help the church. Help the church grow. No. The Lord is with us. He's in me. And I pray with him. I'm partnering with him. That's why our prayers are so fizzled up. Because it's not with the Lord. It's to the Lord. Big difference, isn't it? I've done it for years and years like this. In this church, I've done it. God, help the church to grow. Help the church to go. I'm just using them as a shopping cart to the Lord. God says, let me pray with you. Let me be with you. Let me show you what I want from this church. Everybody in this room, if you start to say, God, I'm not going to pray to you. I'm going to pray with you. Show us. Show us what you want to do in this church. For me to play my part. My part is an evangelist. Your part, I don't know what your part is. Play your part. Let's make a magnificent symphony. Let's raise it up to the Christ. Raise it up. All of us. No. My heart is very wicked. I get so angry. Me and you. God is telling me, lay it down. Lay it down, please, so we can pray together. I want to pray with you, Miles. I love you, Miles. Jesus loves you. And he wants not to just give you things. He wants to give. If we start to get this right, praying with the Lord, your prayer life will just take off. Gone. And everything that is up here in our heart, we lay at the blood of Jesus. God will answer our prayers. He wants to. He's not, you don't have to beg God for this. He wants this for our church. Praying with Christ gives us a heart like Christ. That heart is a passion for the lost in intercession. That's what happens. When I'm on the right road and I'm praying with Christ and I'm starting to do it, I start to fall in love with these lost people. Because you know what? I know where they're at. They can't come to the Lord. Only when we pray, and listen to me very carefully, I have a powerful thing that happened to me, and you guys know, but went all over and touched people, but it did happen to me. I always ask God, God, why? Who prayed for me? I have no saved people in my family from third and fourth. Who prayed, Lord? Who prayed? This is how powerful prayer can be when you pray with Christ. Because I know it worked. I was in that little church in Purple Lake. And when I turned around, that little old lady said, you know what? When I finished preaching, she said, you know what? I was praying for you when I saw you in the paper. She said, I was praying. She was 88 years old. She started this church. And she turned around, she said, I was praying for you. God said, see, I got this woman to pray for you, but she prays with me. She knew what to pray for. How did she know I was going to be a pastor? Because God told her. And God has to tell us now, all of us in this room, everybody in this room, if you want to be used, to pray with the Lord, that He will tell us, God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to pray for, Lord? True?
Yes.
He doesn't want us. Hey, you know what really got me? I used to feel like this, is that my family was everything. Your family is not everything. The body of Christ is everything. Your family might not turn to the Lord, but these guys were with the Lord. You follow what I'm trying to say? We work as a unit, man. We have to. We have to. If we do it, oh boy, we'll take off. All of us. Everybody will take off. First priority, number one priority, is be a fisher of men. That's a number one priority. And to your family, fish for them. To my family, fish for them. Fish for men. That is the heart of the Lord. That's what He came for. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We seek them out, but we do it through prayer. God, it's like a radar with prayer. I'm telling you, I had to tell you something when I finish this message. It's heavy. Watchman Nee, listen to what he says. He says this, Watchman Nee. And the first lesson we must learn is this, that the work is not initially ours at all, but His. He prays through us. It is not that we work for God, but that He works through us. God gives us a position of rest. He brings his son's finished work and presents it to us. And then He says to us, please sit. His offer to us cannot, I think, be better expressed than in the words of the invitation to the great banquet. Come, for all things are now ready. Luke 14:17. Come, for all things are now ready. Our Christian life begins with the discovery of what God has already provided. We don't beg for things for God. It's already there. We walk into it. The thing that I'm trying to get at is this. In Ecclesiastes 8:3, don't be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Don't. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care how busy you are. Don't be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Don't. You will suffer your Christian life. It'll suffer. Don't be in a hurry. Stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. You will do more if you stay in His presence than when you leave. You'll do not as much. Stay in His presence. And listen, all of us need to pray about this because the devil will attack us on this end. He will make us so... The phone will ring. My phone will ring when I'm in the presence of the Lord. Or somebody, a neighbor, will knock on the door and I'm in the presence of the Lord. I go answer it. What? Are you with me? Some weird things happen. I think that's the devil.
He wants us to stay, linger in his presence, power. It's like a sponge. You're like a sponge. And you go into his presence. It's like you soak. I was at the spa this week with my son. We went to a spa. And, you know, there's a spa, and the water comes over, and I'm just like, and it's coming on all me. I start thinking, that's what it's like going into your presence. The presence of God. And he just soaks you. The sponge becomes really, you know how it's sponge, eh? And then you go out, people touch you. They touch Jesus. They just touch Jesus. You don't get angry because you're in his presence. It happens like that.
Really happens like that. That's why coming into his presence, you become a fisher of men. But you become a fisher of men in the inward, not the outward. Get it? When you have intercession, you pray, you become a fisher of men inside. You don't go outside. It happens inside first. Then you go, follow me. Then he goes outside. That's Jesus' way. First, inside, fishers of men. Then I have a heart, a passion for the lost. I want the lost at all costs. I had it. Did you get into this kind of stuff, man? I don't know what happened. But I had it, and I'm going to go get it again. Where people like Omar and people that are out there that can't come to the Lord, and I bring them to the Lord, there's so much joy. And it's just the right fruit, man. It's the right fruit. I couldn't pick it any better. God leads me to the person like the Philip. Remember that Philip, that guy, and he's in the chariot? He goes, go by the chariot. The guy's reading the eye. I've had those things happen. And everybody can have it happen. Why? Because God says you can intercede. You can follow me like this. This is not some, woo, this is for the evangelist. No, this is for everybody. This is personal soul winning. This is not like, ooh, look at him. Forget that. We're the church. All of us have to win souls. You want to grow? Bring it in. Let's start praying. Let's follow Jesus, what he says. Follow me. Follow me. You know that word, truthfully? It's so misused, it's not funny. In the Christian church. Follow me. I don't think we know what it means. Follow me. When he says follow me, what does it mean? What does following me mean? You ever wonder? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross daily. Follow me. This is not monkey business. This is the real thing. Dying to self. It's painful. Even coming up here is painful. Preaching here is painful. Doing anything is painful. Doing what's right is painful. Dying on a cross, denying self, taking up your cross, dying, and then following. You know why he says it like that? Because then the Spirit of God can do it through you. You have to get out of the way. We have to. Or we can't follow him. Nobody can. It's impossible. Listen to this. Okay, just check this out. Some of the words of Christ can be very hard to follow.
Am I right? I had this professor come into the OBC. He goes, I'll never forget it. He goes, hey, who's the early Christians here? Who's the young Christians here? He goes, a couple people. Go, oh, see, it's nice following Jesus, isn't it? Oh, yeah, we got fun. He goes, who's the middle? Who's the middle? Few people. Hard following Jesus. Oh, yeah. Then he goes to some of the older saints. He says, well, what about you guys? What do you think? It's impossible! It's impossible. And only when you get that will you be able to follow. Anyone, including me and her, if I try and fix her, or she tries and fix me, it is so wrong because you can't follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit working through you. So how am I going to get to fix it? Or anybody for a matter of that? See how foolish it is? Follow. He gave us words that we go, Lord, are you being fair? Do we say that sometimes? stuff that's really tough to follow him. Can I? Listen to this, Matthew 5, 38 to 48. Just give me a little time and I'll show you some hard words. You have heard that it was said eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Sounds like the world, right? Even sometimes in the church, you punch me in the eye, I'll punch you in the eye. Yeah? Isn't that the way you are, sinful nature? You hurt me, I'll hurt you. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Hard words, impossible words. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. And I wrote down this. To just go by the law, to just get by is the law. To go the extra mile is the Spirit of God. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Oh, this is tough, man. I don't even want to read this stuff. I wish I could. No, I don't want to say that either to the Lord. I'm sorry. I wish I could blot it out. This is tough stuff, man. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Tell me. You tell me if those words are not impossible. Are they not impossible? Are they impossible? Hey, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Listen. I wrestle and struggle with this. And I'm just being honest. If someone came up to your chair and went, bam, and smashed you in the face, God, please. Okay. I came so close with Bonnie and David to moving back to jail. I remember when you and I were witnessing to people, and there was this lady one time, and I gave her $300. I know you don't remember. And this lady said she'll pay me back next week, and she didn't. And I phoned her, I said, where are my $300? I was about I was 3 years old Christian. So I was, just growing, right? And I lied to her, you do a good thing, right? Well, I gave $300. And the lady goes, well, can you wait one for 1 more week? And I said, yeah, I'll wait 1 more week. Phone her next week, and she says, can you wait another week? I said, you better give me that $300. And here I'm a Christian. I'm trying to witness to her, eh? And I almost smacked her on the phone. You don't give me the $300, I'm going to come and rip your head off. I'm a 3 year old Christian. After that, I go, what the? That's not a Christian. And then I heard God say to me, you can't do this. Only I can do it through you. It's supernatural. That's why God puts us into really, really impossible situations. So he shows us you need the Spirit of God. That's why we need how the dry season in our prayer time, we need to say, we need the Spirit of God. But sometimes what we do is, when we're frustrated, I'm going to put myself on the chair and I attack people instead of going to God. And God is telling me now, please come to me. Follow me. Listen to this, what Watchman Nee says. Indeed, we may well find comfort in reading the laws of the kingdom as set forth in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. For they show what utter confidence the Lord has in his own life, made available to his children. These three chapters that set forth the divine taxation of the divine life, the greatness of his demands upon us, only shows us how confident he is that the resources he has put within us are fully enough to meet them. God does not command what he will not perform, but we must throw ourselves back on him for the performance. I'm talking not just here in church. I'm saying on Monday when I'm with you, and I'm, you know, just cast myself on the Lord. Just cast myself on him, so that it's him through me. This is a lifestyle of following Jesus all the time, casting yourself on the Lord. All the time. You know that song that Colin, you gave me one time? Listen to this. It goes, no, now, Lord, I will be yours alone and live so all might see. The strength to follow your commands could never come from me. We need to get this right. Even as a Christian who's been a Christian for 35 years, I still know I am helpless. I am broken. But I need the Spirit of the Lord to work through me. The more you go into this, the deeper you go into this, the more intercession, the more Christ. Spirit of God. He wants to do this for us. All of us. Every one of us.
He does. He wants to do that. Watchman Nee, he tells a story. I'm almost finished. Bear with me.
I knew of an old Japanese Christian woman who was disturbed by a thief who had broken into her house. In her simple but practical faith in the Lord, she cooked the man a meal, then offered him her keys. He was shamed by her action, and God spoke to him. Through her testimony, that man is a brother in Christ today. I couldn't believe it. How would you do that? I'd shoot him. I'm just telling you how I am. I am not where I am. I want to be honest, but I do want to be like that. All of us in this room, you're a Christian, that's your motive. You want to be like Jesus. That's it. You don't have any other ambition but be like Christ. I think that's my
oh, I can't wait. One day I'll be like Jesus Christ, man.
No more sin. No more war in my heart. Free to worship the Lord. Relief. He has it. You know that word enabled? When I use enabled us to go on the heights? David Brainerd used that word. I don't know if you don't know David Brainerd. I don't know if you laugh. That guy was so funny, it's not funny. David Brainerd was 29 years old when he died of tuberculosis. This guy, and I don't even want to tell you how he prayed. This guy prayed and the revival set off in the Indians in America. But he used this word, he coined the word enabled. And he prayed, if you know how he prayed, I don't even know. I'm not even there. He prayed, David Brainerd, he prayed that the snow was here, right here, and he prayed, and the perspiring for 9 hours praying, and it went down to his ankles, and he prayed, and a revival set up in the Indians. He prayed, and he used the word enable, and he said, the Spirit of God enabled me to pray. He's the only one who can do that kind of praying. Not David Brainerd, the Spirit of God enabled me. He can enable, and he's not a special God. He can enable everyone in this room to pray. He wants to do that.
I'm back. Now, I'm going to start preaching on Jesus all the time, just like I did. I want everybody to understand one thing.
I want you
verses 3 and 4, we're going to pray. All of them. We've got four prayer requests up here for the church. Okay? And if you want to leave, I want to make sure to be graceful. If you have to leave or want to leave, or you feel uncomfortable, I'm not more spiritual than you, and nobody in this place is. If you want to go, go. If you want to pray and these four prayer requests, and then back you're up there now, you stay here. I want the church to take off. This is a passion of honor. Pray with me. Now, I don't have up here, but I have this one guy in place. I'm ending here. I'm talking about that. I've been praying. 3 years I've been going after this guy, Oz. He's a Muslim. If Omar was here, he would know. Oz. He's in the Pickering Town Center. So I've been talking. He does the t-shirts. So we're talking. I give him a coffee. He had to be kind, too, you know? He's good with coffee every so often. And we talk, we talk, we talk. Well, listen to what happened. I need you to pray for this. I need you to pray. Just listen to this. Listen. This is cool. I'm walking in a Pickering counselor. I'm not going to share anything else. He's going to, he just looks at me and he goes, I said, how are you doing, Austin? He goes, demons are after you. Demons are after you. And he goes, yeah, demons are after you. And he's a Muslim. I'm a Christian pastor. He knows it. So why would you tell me demons are after you? So I go in and walk in around. And I go, demon. He says, yeah, come talk to me, man. Please come and talk to me. So 3 days ago, I go and talk to him. I've been praying for this guy for 3 years. I've been bumping heads with him. I've been talking about Jesus a lot, but in a different way. You know what I mean? Because he's Muslim, strict Muslim. I don't want to get into what I got to meet with him in 2 days. I'm going to be home for dinner. You know what he says to me? Because I'm a Muslim. Strong, more than one. I know it, I can tell. I can see the 20,000 beers all around me. He goes, I can't eat. I'm so filled with guilt. I can't sleep. I can't walk around. I'm so filled with guilt. How do I get rid of this? 3 years of praying. I whispered in his ear.
If you could do this, would you get into groups of 3 and 4 just to do this? 3 and 4, and could you just pray this for Root Valley Church? Right here. These four and Oz. And if you get into groups of 3 and 4, we'll pray. If you have